Last week, I was having lunch with, it helps if you turn it on. I was having lunch with Jed Holland, and we were talking about, we were kicking ideas around for a music Sunday someday this year. And Jed inspired me to think of a service I had seen years and years and years ago in the Unitarian Universalist Church I was attending at the time. It was a worship service that was being played out within a worship service. So you had a minister in the pulpit, or a person playing a minister in the pulpit, doing the sermon, and you had the choir playing the choir. But as the service moved along, what would happen was the microphone on the minister's sermon would dim down so you could see the minister mouthing the words, and somebody in the choir would pop up and talk about the terrible fight they had with their husband last night and how badly they felt and how they needed to put that burden down in church. And then the choir member would sit down and you'd hear the minister a little bit more, and then the mic would go down and somebody in a pew would stand up facing the front and share their thoughts out loud with us, talking about the terrible diagnosis that they had gotten and what it felt like. And then somebody else would get up and talk about the awful hangover they had from last night. And this went on for a while so that you were getting connected to the feelings that we all bring into church with us. Some of them profound, some of them funky. But each one made you connect with your own heart a little bit in worship. And then all of a sudden, you could hear a commotion at the back of the church. It sounded like a whole bunch of tin cans rattling along the floor. And you could sort of feel some buzz in the back pews, and you were tempted to turn around, but you really didn't want to do that because this was worship and you weren't supposed to turn around and look at what the commotion was all about. But the noise of the tin cans got louder and louder, and eventually I, like everybody else, I couldn't resist. I turned around to see what was going on, and there was a guy basically dressed in rags with a great huge sack of recyclable cans. And he was walking down the center aisle of the church. And I'm thinking to myself, well, is he real? Or is he part of the play? And suppose he's real, how do I feel about that? What if he comes to sit next to me? What if he smells bad? I mean, he's a big guy. He might take up his seat and half of my seat. What'll I do? Would I move? Or should I stay? I don't think I was the only one asking these kinds of questions of my conscience. But he walked past me, and he took his bag with him, and he walked all the way down to the front. He sat right down in the first pew, put his bag in the aisle right next to him, and he folded his hands. The service directly challenged my values and my sensibilities. What would I have done if he had sat next to me and he wanted to talk to me? Would I have any idea what to say? And thinking about those challenges reminded me of another story I had once heard. It's called The Story of the City of Everywhere. This is a tale of a person who might have been me, for I dreamed one time of journeying to that city. I arrived early one morning. It was cold. There were flurries of snow on the ground. And as I stepped from the train platform, I noticed that the bagger man and the red cap were wearing no shoes, although they had heavy coats and gloves and hats on. I wanted to ask the reason for this odd practice, but I repressed the urge. I passed into the station to ask the way to my hotel. Astonished, I saw that no one in the station wore any shoes. Boarding the streetcar, I saw that my fellow travelers were likewise barefoot. At the hotel, I found the bellhop, the clerk, and the habitués of the place all devoid of shoes. Unable to restrain myself any longer, I asked the ingratiating manager what the practice meant.
What practice?
Why, I said, pointing to his bare feet, why don't you wear any shoes in this town?
Ah, that is just it. Why don't we?
But what is the matter? Don't you believe in shoes?
Believe in shoes? I should say we do. That is the first article of our creed, shoes. They are indispensable to the well-being of humanity. Such cuts, sores, suffering as shoes prevent. It is wonderful.
Well, then why don't you wear them?
Ah, that is just it. Why don't we?
So, totally nonplussed, I did my checking in. I secured my room, and I went over to the coffee shop. I deliberately sat down by an amiable-looking man. Who
may the blessing of the light be always with you. May the sun shine upon you and warm your heart until it glows, so that others around you will feel your warmth. May the blessing of rain renew you, make you fresh and innocent, and may your light, like a star, guide us all.
Oh, And we will start.